Thanks for joining us today at Springwell Church, where we want to draw spiritually thirsty people to Jesus by loving God, loving each other, and loving the world. We hope that today's message builds you up, gives you a little insight, and helps you find a brand new perspective. You can find us in Taylor, South Carolina, and online at springwell.org. That's springwell.org. Now let's jump into the message.
If you weren't here, we started a brand new series last week, and really it's a series all about how to prepare for what's next, because it seems like that we're always looking to the future. And by the future, I mean mostly what that means is that we're looking for better days, right? It doesn't matter where we are, we're always thinking that life could be better somehow, whatever that might mean for you. Maybe you started a brand new job, and you're hoping it's going to be better than the old one. Hello? You're hoping you're going to make more money. You didn't even accept the job if there wasn't going to be more money involved. Hello? Are you out there? And so, yeah, so maybe you just been in a brand new relationship. And you're kind of, you know, in the early stages of that new relationship, and you are looking for that relationship to be better than the old relationships, right? Maybe you're looking for a new relationship because the old relationship didn't work out too well, and you're in that in-between stage kind of place. Maybe you just got married. Maybe you just got married and you said, I do, and not long after you said, I do, you did, and now you're wondering if you can. And it's okay, because really it was all about the day, wasn't it? So you planned for the day and you weren't really thinking about the vows. A lot of people now are writing their vows, and maybe you put a little more thought into it. But, you know, you didn't know what you promised was going to be so hard. You said, I do, and you go, oh my gosh. I didn't know for better or worse meant that kind of worse. Yeah, I wasn't planning on that, right? Maybe you just started another new diet. And you're just praying this one's going to work. You know, that's what you're praying for, right? It couldn't be you. It's got to be the diet. You're just still looking for the right diet. So you're looking for the future. You're looking for a better, thinner, happier, more in shape you in the days to come. I'll tell you what I've learned in life. I've learned that there are some transitions that we plan for. Karen is the ultimate planner. She really is. And so she's prepared us well for a lot of things. I wish I could take credit. I cannot. I'm in on some of the meetings, and we talk about what the future should look like, and she plans well. And if you ask me what some of those plans are, I don't know. I forgot. But I have her, and so I'm good. Some things we plan for, and it's a little bit intimidating, a little bit scary, but we're looking forward to it. There are other transitions, however, that we didn't plan for. And so some of you, oh man, this is tough. Some of you could be in a season of grief, and you're wondering if you're ever going to make it on the other side. Grief is hard. I've lost some people this year myself. It's hard. I got a text from a young lady on Friday, and their family doesn't attend Springwell, but I've met this family over the years. They attend another church. Incredible people, godly people. And he's been battling cancer for a couple of years. And so I've been sending, over the last couple of months, knowing his condition, I've literally been sending him text every day. And so his daughter responded on Friday, and she said, we anticipate that Dad will be in heaven sometime by the first of the week. There's some transitions that we plan for. There are other transitions that we really can't plan for. And I think that we would all agree that whether you planned for the transition or not, transitions are stressful. You finally landed your dream job and you can't wait to get started, right? Maybe for you that's going to be in the morning. And maybe, you know, you're excited and you've been praying about, planning toward. I mean, maybe you went to school for this specialty and you didn't have a job, but now this job's opened up and you can use the education that you've worked so hard for and spent so much money on, and now you're able to put that to work in this new job. It's your dream job. But chances are really, really good you're a little nervous about in the morning. And so you know why? You're nervous, you're a little anxious. Why? Because you want to make sure that you put forward your best self. And so you want to make sure that you're there on time. Like showing up for your dream job 15 minutes late, it's not a good idea. You want to give a good impression to your boss. You want to give a good impression maybe to the people that you work around. You want them to know that you appreciate the opportunity. You're hoping that everything goes well. It's really, for any transition, it's like packing for a trip. The full enjoyment of any trip, to some degree, rests in how well you prepared for the trip. So, for example, if you were planning a trip to Hawaii in the summer and you packed like you were going to Alaska in the winter, I'm just saying it's going to be miserable. You're going to be a little bit hot as you have on all these clothes. Likewise, if you plan a trip for Alaska in the middle of winter and you plan like you're going to Hawaii in the summer, I'm telling you, you're going to be cold in those shorts and flip-flops and tank tops. It's not going to be a good experience for you. And in this series, we're learning that there are some things that you can do to prepare for the season ahead. And even if that season that you're in right now is not something that you planned for, I promise you'll be able to look back at some point and realize that God has been about the business of preparing you for the season that you're in right now. So I brought my favorite backpack. It's awesome. It is a Osprey. Is that how you say that? I don't know. It's awesome. And it's awesome because this literally, I kid you not, this backpack has literally traveled the world. There are some great features about it. If you'll check with me, I'm just kidding. There's this little pocket right here. My phone's in it right now. Oops, it'll fall out. Let me put this down. That'd be awful if I dropped my phone and it broke. Y'all would cheer, and that would be awful. So anyway, this little pocket right here, just so you know, I made sure that the backpack that I purchased had this little pocket because I want to make sure that my passport and my plane ticket goes in that little pocket. It's awesome, don't you think? I mean, you're wanting to take notes right now. I know. And because no matter where you are, if you're in the airport, you know, you can always just unzip it. Boom, it's right there on the spot for you to take care of it. I don't say y'all aren't that impressed, but this is really pretty awesome. There's all kind of things that I pack to make sure that I make sure I got a little food. That's like one of the first things I want to pack. Y'all with me? I usually try to put, you know, like some healthy, you know, maybe cashews or a Payday, which I think is a protein bar, personally. Just in case you get hungry, you know, somewhere along the way and Karen won't let me stop because we're cheap. And then I have this little bag. And in this little bag, you know, I have some, I can't even think what you call them in the first service. I'm probably going to forget what you call them. I think they're AirPods. Is that it? Let's just go with that. And so these are awesome. I'm not kidding you. I use these every single day when I'm on a trip. I use them every single day anyway. So I want to make sure that I have these. I'm on an airplane. I want to make sure that I have these, put these in so I can enjoy my music. Y'all with me? And then I get up early every day. And just so you know, I got to make sure that I've got, okay, the zipper sometimes gets stuck. And then, just hang on. So then I make sure that I have an iPad. And I've got my iPad, and then I make sure that I have these AirPods. Thank you, appreciate it. You saw me struggling right there. Oh, help him, Lord. And so I make sure that I have these. And here's the reason why. It's because I get up, as you know, some stupid early time of the morning, like 4 o'clock. And it doesn't matter where I'm at in the world. I still get up early in the morning. And it's important to me because that's the time that I meet with Jesus. And let's just say, you know, that I'm up. I listen to videos. I've been listening to these videos now for probably a year and a half at least. And so here's the thing. I want to meet with Jesus, and I don't want to make Karen mad meeting with Jesus. And so I make sure that these, you know, ear pod bud things are in my ears. AirPods. I make sure that they're in so that I can do my thing without, you know, disturbing her, because I want to meet with Jesus. And so anyway, and then you got to have a bag of all your cables and stuff, right? So I got that. That's pretty awesome. This is an Atkins bar, just so you know. Can I even say that? Am I allowed to say that, David? I'm breaking a rule or something. We're getting kickbacks from all this. I'm just kidding. We're not. Then you want to make, it'd be awesome if we were. And then you want to make sure that you got, you know, like all your medications, you know, so I've got that. I've got one bottle. I've forgotten this several times. I'm glad this is like nitroglycerin tablets or something, you know, like I would die if I didn't have it. It's okay. It's just a little cholesterol thing. I'm sure I'm fine. Don't worry about me. So anyway, I've got that. And then if you're a little, some of y'all a little bit older, hello, you need a little sleep medication. So for those of you that are like really health conscious, I got melatonin. And this is the 10 milligram. I ain't no sissy. 3 milligram. You got to be kidding me. 3. I'm a man. I take 10. And then I have another sleep aid. I don't know what it is. Who knows? But it's, you know, it's a Quate, because I'm saving money. We're saving money every opportunity that we get, right? And so just so you know, somewhere on here, I can't read it right now, but I'm pretty sure it says non-habit-forming. Non-habit-forming. Y'all don't even get that either. I'm in trouble. Then I make sure, you got it, and it still wasn't funny, was it? So then I make sure, like, if I'm on a plane, if I'm flying, I got this neck pillow. And you're looking right now thinking, well, that ain't going to do you any good at all. But you blow it up. I'm not kidding you. So, you know, I hate having, y'all seen people go through the airport and they've got that thing around their neck or attached to something. And Karen will tell you, I don't want to carry anything. And it's going to go in that backpack, or I'm not taking it, you know. It's got to go in my check-in. I hate taking luggage through an airport. Anyway, it doesn't work. I don't know why I carry it, so I'm going to probably just throw that thing away. What else do I have in here? Actually, I have some mints, too. You never know who you're going to meet. I might be sharing Jesus with somebody, and they can't even hear me because my breath's so bad. I'm spiritually motivated. And then I make sure, well, actually, I don't, but Dramamine, I know this is really important for some people. They get motion sickness. Dramamine, we're getting kicked back from Dramamine as well. I'm just kidding, we're not. And then there are these nausea, relief, comforting acupuncture bands that all the cool kids are wearing now. And so I learned this when we went to Guatemala. We've gone over the last few years. And some people, you know, for Dramamine, it makes you drowsy. And the guy, you know, I talked to a guy a few years ago, and he said, yeah, we went on a cruise, and I took Dramamine, and, man, it was awesome. I didn't throw up. I slept the whole trip, though, and I don't remember anything. But it was an awesome. But I didn't throw up, and that was awesome. And so these are supposed to, you know, hit you. You put them on the certain place. Maybe you put them around your head. I don't know. But I think it's on your wrist. And that's supposed to make things much better. So you don't puke and you can do it naturally. Isn't that awesome? I have no idea because I don't struggle with motion sickness, but Karen does struggle with motion sickness. And we really learned this a few years ago when we were on a cruise. We sailed out of New York. That's a long story because people, every time I say that, you go, why in the world you sail out of New York? It's a long story, I won't go into it. But we sailed out of New York, and it was a smaller ship. And I don't know if it was because we sailed out of New York or that we sailed on a smaller ship, but we learned really quickly that Karen gets, I learned really quickly, maybe she knew that all along, but I learned really quickly that she gets motion sickness. And I remember the very first night as we were going to dinner, I noticed that she was wobbling just a little bit. And I thought, baby, you've been into that little fridge. I mean, you know. My wife, you know. Anyway, she gets drunk off of, what was that, Emily? Benadryl. Yeah, I can't even give her a Benadryl. I'm just telling you. So anyway, so we're walking to the dining room. We walk in one door, and as we're going across, she looks at me and says, I can't do this. You have to know my wife. She's incredibly, like, so selfless. And so she would think, you go ahead, you go and eat. And which I said, absolutely. You need to be alone. And I'm just thinking of you because you need to be alone as you hurl. And then she walked out the other door. But here's what I saw. I remember this. As she's walking, she's always reaching out for something. And so it might be a wall or a chair. I remember as she's walking across the dining room, it might be from one chair to another chair until she could get to a rail. And so what I learned was that she needed something to anchor herself because she felt off balance. And I think that the very nature of transition, the stress of change, can cause us to feel off balance. And during those times, we are always looking for something to anchor ourselves to, something to give us stability. I invite people to church. I invite people to church all the time. And there's some that are here this morning that as a result of God making our paths cross, which is really cool and sweet. I won't call anybody's name over here. I'm looking at you right now. But it's okay. And so, you know, God allows me to intersect, you know, with other people. And so, you know, you fall in love with those people and you get to know people and you build a relationship. And then as that relationship, you know, develops and you learn, hey, you guys are going to church anywhere? And maybe they're not. And so I'll invite them to church. And when I do, one of the things that I often say is, so we have two services. Which service are you coming to? And about what time do you think that you'll be there? And the reason I say that is because I want to meet them at the door. And the reason that I want to meet them at the door is because oftentimes when people haven't been in church for a while or they come to Springwell, and let's just be honest, we're a little different than the average church. Hello, y'all with me? And so I don't, you know, they could walk through the door and get scared by something. And I go, I want you to find a familiar face. I want you to find yourself in the midst of all of the uncertainty of where to go when we have signage and all of those things. But if you're like me, I can be at a brand new place and there can be very clear signage everywhere and I miss it because I'm anxious and I'm nervous. And so what I want to do is give them a familiar face. And I'll say the same thing about CR because I'm constantly inviting people to CR on Thursday nights. And oftentimes what I'll say is I'll meet you at the door. I'm just trying to offer them something to anchor to. So this morning, I want to take you to a passage because I have to be honest. For me, my whole Christian life, it has been Scripture that has often been consolation for me. It has been Scripture that has given me peace and something to hold on to when I'm in the midst of a transition. And when I'm in the midst of a transition, when I am struggling to be able to make a decision, and I have always, it seems like, some kind of decision to make, that I want to have a verse of Scripture to sink my teeth into. So I want to share with you this morning this passage out of Hebrews 6 that I believe will help you when life really just seems off balance, whether it's a season that you planned or whether it's a season that has caught you off guard. This passage gives us something to focus on. It gives us something to anchor to when we're feeling a little bit of motion sickness. In fact, that's the advice that's given to someone who's struggling with motion sickness on a cruise. I remember, you know, as Karen was learning how to deal with this motion sickness thing, is that often people on the ship would say, make sure that you look to the horizon. And I remember the very first day that we were on the ship, we went up to the top And so we were sitting on the top deck, and we were in these lounge chairs. And I'm not kidding. This is the truth. At one minute, we would literally be looking right at the ocean, and that's all that we could see was the ocean. And like the next minute, then we would be looking at the sky, I mean, all we could see was the sky. You didn't even know there was an ocean out there. And then like a split second later, we're looking again. No wonder she got sick. Some of y'all getting a little motion sickness now, right? So what they would say is, no, don't look at the water. The water's constantly changing. Don't look at the ship, but look at something that's off in the distance, something that is secure and stable. So this morning, I want to give you an anchor in those difficult times of transition. We're going to be in the New Testament book, as I already told you, Hebrews, and the writer is going to be writing, and I think it's really crystal clear that you know who he's writing to. Because you're never going to understand Hebrews unless you know who he's writing to. And so he's writing to a group of Jews that have literally, they accepted Christ, they believed that he was the Messiah, they surrendered their lives for him, and then suddenly now they're abandoning their faith. And they're abandoning their faith because of persecution. And see, they didn't get that memo when they accepted Jesus. And so maybe when they accepted Jesus, maybe they heard somebody say, hey, listen, life is going to be so sweet. I mean, everything is going to be roses. You're going to have a better house, a better car. You know, you're going to live into another state of enjoyment. I mean, the pleasure is going to be off the chain as you enjoy all of the blessings of God. And maybe somebody told them that, but what they did not plan on for sure was persecution. And when the persecution came, they abandoned their faith. So the writer here gives them two reasons for keeping the faith and trusting God. So Hebrews 6, let's start with verse 16. Here's what the writer says. He says, people swear. Man, we're not starting off good if you're from the South. Am I right? People swear by someone greater than themselves. And I guess we better start with that word swear, because here in the old South, swearing ain't a good thing. In fact, you know, if you hear somebody talk about swearing, most of the time it's associated with foul language, right? It's connected to profanity somehow. And so this Greek word that I'll put up on the screen, because there's no way I'm going to be able to pronounce it. So here's the meaning of this Greek word that's used here in this context. It says to declare an oath, swear an oath, promise with an oath. Any of you watch Law and Order? It's awesome. It is the best program that has ever been on TV, can I just say without any doubt whatsoever in my mind. Y'all out there? So it's either Law and Order or Frasier. Hello? I don't know what y'all are watching. Anyway, if you've ever watched Law and Order, or if you've ever been to a court, and some of you have. I meant that in the most Christian way, because I've been there too. I'm just saying. Anyway, so you know when they're swearing someone in, right? And so they swear them in, and they promise to tell the truth, and then they add at the end, so help me God. And so they appeal to God for confirmation. Here's what they're saying. You know what? I might have been, you know, kidding around before, but right now I swear to God. Ugh, saying that like out loud makes me uncomfortable. And I know what it means, but here's what they're doing. They're appealing to a higher power as confirmation that what they're about to say is true. Maybe when you were younger, or some of you may be saying it now, you might swear on your mama's grave. Hello? Anybody from the South ever said that? Or if you were really dead serious about something and you were in an argument and somebody was accusing you of lying, you'd say, I swear on my grandma's grave. And if you said grandma's grave, I mean, like, oh, well, I know you're telling the truth now. Your mama, we weren't sure about, but not grandma. In other words, here's what we're saying. You might not believe me, but I'm going to appeal to a higher authority that you can believe. So here's what he says. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. So when people are in transition and we're looking for someone greater than ourselves to hold on to in the middle of these transitions, because these transitions bring a tremendous amount of stress and anxiety. So we're looking for someone to appeal to. So he says, I want to talk about a promise and an oath that will put him into all the argument. So verse 17, he says, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised. Watch this. He says, he confirmed it with an oath. So he made a promise, and then he confirmed it. Those are the two things, with an oath. So God made a promise to Abraham in Genesis 12. That's awesome. There have been times in my life when, I got to be honest, I believed with every fiber of my being that God made me a promise. Here's the problem. The problem is that God made the promise to Abraham in Genesis 12, but he didn't follow through with the oath until Genesis 22. Can anybody say, oh me, I don't like that? It's okay. It's okay. You can say that. I've said it many, many times. You know, I mean, God says he's always on time. God's always right on time. Preachers on Sunday morning, God's always right on time. I've always think he's been a little late for my liking, for my purposes. See, the in-between sometimes, that long gap, in those moments, in those seasons, God prepares, he prepares the promise for the person. There have been times when I've realized I'm not ready for the promise. I thought I was ready for the promise, but I'm not ready for the promise. And so sometimes he prepares the person for the promise, and sometimes he prepares the promise for the person. But there's always this gap. There always seems to be this gap between the promise and the delivery with an oath. So God promised that he would one day send the Messiah. And he told the Jews of the Old Testament, he said, I'm going to send a Messiah. It's going to be awesome. I mean, right now, here's what you guys are doing. You're offering a lamb every year. You're slitting the throat of a lamb, and you're offering the blood of the lamb as a sacrifice for the sins of the people. And this priest had to go through this every single year. He said, but one day, I'm going to send a Messiah. And that Messiah is going to be my son. And my son is going to go to the cross. And on the cross, he's going to die. And he's going to shed his blood to pay the penalty for all sin for all time. And on the third day, he's going to be raised from the dead. And this is awesome. But hundreds of years passed while they waited. In fact, there's a period of time between the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's 400 years. It's called the silent period, where God was silent. And it was during that period that a lot of these Jews gave up. What would you do? What have some of you done? You say, you know what? I mean, God promised, and then there was a generation who believed, and they died, and then they left their children to believe, and then their children died, and then their children's children believed, and they died. And finally, after several hundred years, there were those that said, you know what? I believe that God's been a liar the whole time. I don't believe that God's actually going to deliver on what he promised. And they gave up on the faith. And let's be honest. It's tough when God's silent. It's tough when you don't see the evidence of. It's easy to believe that it's never going to happen. But he was faithful. And he did make the announcement. And he did send his son. And Jesus did, in fact, give his life on the cross once and all to pay the ultimate price for all sin. And we celebrate Easter. We celebrate Easter every year. Because not only did Jesus give his life on the cross, but on the third day, God raised him from the dead. And so that's why there's so much excitement built around Easter. And that's why, honestly, I love Christmas. And Christmas is awesome. But we can never talk about Christmas. We can never talk about the birth of Jesus without looking to Easter, about the life, the death, the price that was paid, and the resurrection of Jesus. It's awesome. Five of you got that. But there were some of these Jews that they abandoned their faith. And the writer is saying that, you know what, God is an unchanging God who keeps all of his promises with an oath. And he will do exactly what he said he will do. God can be trusted. God swore by himself. In other words, God placed his name on the line. So I'm putting my name on the line. I will do what I said I'll do. And he did. Verse 18, God did this so that by two unchangeable things, which are the promise and the oath, in which it is impossible, I love this, it is impossible for God to lie. God's character is so impeccable that he cannot lie. He will do exactly what he said that he will do. And he's done that for me. I wish I could spend maybe the rest of the message saying, you know what? God said many years ago that this is what he was going to do. And I got weary and I wobbled and I began to wonder if I had heard wrong. And did I hear wrong? Is God actually going to do it? Did he actually say he was going to do it? And then when he follows through and he does it, I'm just telling you, strengthens your faith. God cannot write a check that he can't cash. You don't write that down, man. That'll set somebody free. God cannot write a check that he can't cash. We who have fled to take hold of the hope. The word hope, it's an interesting word. Set before us may be greatly encouraged. And we can take any promise that God made with an oath and rest in the fact that he is a God who cannot change. He is a God who can cash any check that he writes. He will do exactly what he said he'll do. And then he says this. He says, we have this hope. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. And then he says this. The hope is firm and secure. So in the middle of the transitions, whatever transition you're in right now, if it's planned for or not planned for, we can have hope. We can have hope for our souls. We can have hope. When our lives are being tossed to and fro by life's transitions, we have an anchor of stability in Christ Jesus. Hope. Hope is so powerful. It's the most powerful anchor for our motion sick, transition sick souls. And I wrote this, just the next sentence, I wrote this, but I'm not sure that we really understand the word hope. And really what I mean by that is I really don't think I understand the word hope. I don't know how you see it, but when I use that word, I don't use it in the same way that this text intends for it to be used. My kind of hope seems to be more wishful thinking and not really in something that's solid and secure. So you might tell me, you said, Scott, man, you won't believe it, but guess what? Tomorrow I'm starting a new job. It was so crazy. You talked about it on Sunday morning. I'll probably look at you and say, boy, I hope things go well for you. I'm wishing they'll go well for you. I don't know if they'll go well for you, because if you show up 15 minutes late, it ain't going to go well for you. And you know what? If you don't put your best foot forward, I'm pretty sure it's not going to go well for you. And so what I have found is that oftentimes we will use that word. I use that word. You probably are so much more spiritual than me. But I use that word really more as wishful thinking than I do in having anchor to something that is solid, secure, and stable. So, my hope is solely dependent upon the weight of my anchor. Recently, I decided that I was going to buy an anchor for my stand-up board. Now, when I say stand-up board, it's a little deceiving. Quite honestly, you can't really see the stand-up board. Can I just tell you right off, there's three people on that stand-up board. It's awesome. Yes, my dog is a person. That's a dog. I beg to differ with you. Anyway, so there are three of us on this board. It's 14 foot. It's 14 feet long. It's awesome. 43 inches at the widest point. And all three of us can get on there at the very same time. And can I just say it's really cool? You say, I'm in a chair. You can't see Karen's chair. And she's hot as a match. Is she not? I'm just telling you what's the truth. Okay, what are we talking about? Oh, yeah. So... And it's awesome, and we're all three on it at the very same time. And you should see us on the lake, because I'm telling you, people will stop and they'll say, what is that thing that you're on? And I'll say, it's a stand-up board. And they go, well, y'all aren't standing. And there's three of you on it. So we have like, these are just beach chairs. If you're thinking it's some kind of cool boat chair, we're cheap. It's just a beach chair. That's all it is. And what you can't see, back behind me? Is it my stand-up board? Has a motor. Don't you judge me. Don't you judge me. I am not on the water to exercise. I'm not. You know what? We solely get on the water to relax. Anyway, relaxing just means that sometimes for Karen and I, we did this yesterday. Oh my gosh, it was awesome. Sometimes we just want to stop and just float. But floating and drifting can be annoying if you're trying to stay in one place. And according to Karen, drifting can put you into the trees and the bushes where big, long, mean, poisonous snakes weigh in late. They lie in wait for dumb, bored people. And so Karen really, I'm not kidding you, she'll freak out. She'll say, you better get that paddle and get us out. We're going in the tree. We're going in the tree. We're going in the tree. And so she'll start back, whatever, you know, trying to get us out. So I did a little bit of investigating. I did a little bit of research, and I'm going to get this anchor. And so I bought me an anchor. Actually, all my research, I was trying to figure out how much weight that you needed. So I searched the internet. You know what I found? I didn't find squat. So I called a professional. I called Jay Ross. This is Jay's, actually. It's pretty cool, isn't it? So yesterday. So Karen and I, we left Maggie at the house. She was feeling a little motion sickness. I'm just kidding. I just made that up. But anyway, so we're out on the water yesterday, and we got to that place, and we buzzed around the lake a little bit. And then we said, you know what? We just want to float, and this is the truth, no kidding. So I took this anchor. I bought this anchor, and so I put it out, and we found the bottom, and I secured it. And I thought, man, this is awesome. And I was a little tired. You know what I mean? My little 2.5 horsepower motor. I mean, sometimes it can be strenuous. I'm hoping that somebody will tell me that I can get an electric start so I don't have to pull. Anyway, so we anchored yesterday, and then I got out of my chair because this board is just awesome. And so I got out of my chair, and I put it to the side, and so I laid back, and Karen had this float on it, and it was awesome, and it was like just, it made just a perfect pillow, and I laid back, and I was so relaxed. She said I went to sleep. I didn't remember quite going to sleep. She said, oh, no, you were asleep. And she said, you were snoring. She said, no, you weren't snoring, but you were breathing really loud. What I learned is the weight of the anchor makes all the difference, because you know what she said when I woke up? She looked at me and she said, ha, you see where we are? The anchor worked. If it's too light, if your anchor doesn't weigh enough, you'll drift. I think the same holds true for life's transitions. Your hope will only be secure if your anchor is heavy enough, if it's strong enough to handle the weight of your transitions. I've learned over the years that for some people, their anchor is their finances. And I don't know, I've been told this by people with finances, actually, that even those that have a considerable amount of money in the bank, maybe in savings, tied up in other places, retirement, you know, programs, 401ks, whatever it is, I've been told by those who have really tried to prepare well for those later years of life will say, but the problem is, I don't know if I have enough. I never know if I have enough money in the bank. Is it going to be my stability? And so money really is not a very good, it's not a very good anchor. And for some, boy, I'm at the gym every week, right? And sometimes 5 or 6 days a week. And what I see are all these young people. And these young people, can I just say they're awesome? And I'm telling you, with the clothes they wear, you can count the hairs on the back of their neck. I mean, why are y'all looking at me like that? Like you didn't know. See, anyway, so these people are in phenomenal shape. But here's what you notice. That no matter how much time and effort and energy that you put into it, no matter how great your diet is, you're going to get older. One of the difficult things for me to get a hold of in my older age is that I'm not as strong as I used to be. I used to love it when I could go into the gym and I could, you know, compete with the young guys. And I'd say, hey, you want to work in with me? And as I've gotten older, I've learned that, boy, if you're putting all of your trust in your health, it's not a very secure anchor. It's not going to be enough to keep you stable. So even as a follower of Jesus, if our hope is secure in Jesus, is it? Is your hope secure in Jesus? Or would you say that, you know what, your relationship with Jesus isn't very strong, and maybe it isn't very strong because honestly, you keep looking to other things to find your security. And you're drifting. And maybe you're drifting into the bushes and into the weeds and into the trees where there's venomous snakes that lie in wait. What are you trusting in? Transitions will always point to where our hope is. Is your hope secure? I'm talking to followers of Jesus. Is it solid? Or have you begun to drift? Maybe you're not a follower of Jesus. Let me ask you this question. What are you hoping in? And maybe the reason that you're here this morning is because, you know what, you work with someone that's a follower of Jesus. Or maybe you live beside someone who's a follower of Jesus and you've watched them go through some difficult times. Maybe you've watched them as they lost a job. Maybe you watched them as the bank foreclosed on a house. They lost a car. Who knows? Maybe you've seen them go through incredible, unbelievable, almost unbearable loss. And what you've seen is that they're stable. And maybe that's why you're here. And you say, well, you know what? There must be something to this Jesus story. There's got to be something because they don't handle life the way I do. And they have something that I don't have. There must be something to this Jesus story. If that's you, I got really good news for you. God wants to be in a relationship with you. You have no earthly idea how much. I've been saying this for so many years. He's crazy about you. He's crazy about you. And he wants to be in a relationship with you. And he provided the way. He said, there's a problem with sin, and it's your problem, and I'm going to fix the problem. You can't, because no matter how good you are, you'll never be good enough, right? And you feel that. So you've tried to be, you've got on the performance treadmill, and you've tried to work your way toward God, and you've tried to be better, but you just miserably fail. God said, I know. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pay the penalty for all your sin. I'm going to send my son. Jesus will die on the cross. He will give his life for you because he's crazy about you. And that would be an awesome story, but that's not the end of the story. On the third day, God raised him from the dead. He's alive. He's alive. So you wonder how those of us that are followers of Jesus make the most difficult of life's transitions. How do we make it through? It's because we have an anchor. Our anchor is in Christ Jesus. If you're not a follower of Jesus and you'd like to be, every head is bowed and every eye is closed. No one's looking around. Maybe you'd pray a prayer or something like this. Maybe you just tell him right out of the gate, I am so unworthy. I don't have what I see in people, God, that claim to be your kids. I don't have that hope. My hope is more wishful thinking. Their hope is solid and secure. So, Lord, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I ask that you forgive me of all my sin. And to the best of my ability, I want to fully surrender my life to you. from this day forward, I want my hope to be in you. Not in my health, not in my finances, not in other relationships, but in you. Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege that I have to be able to share the good news every week. And Lord, I've said this so many times over the years, is that, Lord, every Sunday I get the chance to be a part of a miracle. That somehow you can take what I say and you can use those words to penetrate a heart, and God, that lives can be changed, not because of me, but all because of you. And Lord, we can rest assured because our hope is in you. It's in your sweet name that we pray.